A lot of the times I end up going on my own with the team, but this time not only did my wife Claudia go with me, but also our two girls, Karina and Molly. So we'll have them come up in just a few minutes. They have a couple of memories that they want to share about as well, and they were able to do some work. Also, we did not let Molly play with the welder. We kept her away from that, but she was able to do some other things and spend some time crafting with some of the kids there and that sort of thing. So we'll go ahead and get started here with a word of prayer, and then we'll just talk a little bit about our trip and what the Lord is doing in Mexico. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. We praise you for your word. We praise you for now just this opportunity we have to think about what you're doing in other countries, Lord. We know that you're working all around the world, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you'd continue to work right here in Henderson and our surrounding area, Lord. But as we think about Oaxaca, Mexico, Lord, and the work that's being done down there, specifically today, Lord, we just want to pray for them, lift them up before you, Lord. They're in church as well, Lord, around this time, Lord. And so we just pray your blessing, Lord, that the gospel would go forth in Oaxaca and in the surrounding area there. So, Lord, we just pray that I could be a blessing, Lord, and help us to know what to say, Lord, and will we just glorify you this morning in our words, our thoughts, and our actions. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as we get started here, number one, this is a picture from behind the church where we were serving, and it's just an absolutely beautiful picture. They said, hey, let's go for a little walk, let's take a little hike, and we want to go and show you the city of Oaxaca. So we went, we did that, just absolutely gorgeous night out. Very calm, very nice, and so it was just a brief little walk we got to take and snapped a couple of photos of the city. This here in the foreground is the village of Alamos, and I know it doesn't look much like a village. We might not call it a village in America. We'd probably call it more like a suburb of Oaxaca City, which is a pretty large city. The metropolitan area has about 2 million people, so it's fairly sizable. And this is just one of the churches that the Grace Mission has down there. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we continue on. Our trip took place just a couple of weeks ago. We were there for about a week. That's pretty typical for a short-term team. That's about as long as, you know, people can typically get off of work and that sort of thing. And so they typically last about a week. Some go maybe 10 days. Once in a while, we have somebody go down there for a little bit longer than that, but that was the trip time there. Just a little bit about Grace Mission for those who might need just a little bit of a refresher. We operate in Haiti and Mexico, and we do a variety of things there. Our motto is unleashing the power of the gospel through national ministers in Haiti and Mexico. So as you're going to see through here, this is again a trip to Mexico, but Haiti's the same. We work exclusively through nationals. So our team in Mexico is a Mexican team, born and raised in Mexico. They know the culture all throughout because they grew up there, right? But they were saved, and they were called to ministry, and the Lord placed them in our path with Grace Mission. And so it's our privilege to serve alongside them, help equip them for the work of the ministry. We went down here a couple of weeks ago to the state of Oaxaca, to Oaxaca City, which is right in the middle of the state there. So we were in far south Mexico there, kind of where Mexico has an elbow and takes a turn into Guatemala and Central America. That's where we were at, and that's where our Mexico crew serves, is in that state, mostly in the city of Oaxaca, but we actually have now about three village churches that are outside of the city. So we are blessed to be able to serve in those areas, and we look forward to new works as well that the Lord might bring up. So a couple of things that we do at Grace Mission are one of our central ministries is church planting. We've got about 50 churches between the ministries of Haiti and Mexico. So that's a big part of what we do. Part of that is we also build churches, whether it's teams going down and assisting with that, whether it's sister churches in the U.S. or Canada, sending funds so that those churches can be built. They're built in a variety of ways. Caring for orphans and widows. We have an orphanage and a senior home in Haiti. Medical outreach is something that we do quite a bit of in Mexico. We're going to introduce Dr. Sarah to you this morning. She does a lot of that. She's a big part of that. But biblical character training, another thing that we do a lot of in Haiti. We also do it in Mexico. But it's just teaching the basics of godly living to men and women. How does the Lord want us to live? Boy, that's a big question for each and every one of us, isn't it? And so we try to be involved with that. Pastoral and church leader development, something that we've really been burdened about, and we'll talk a little bit more about as well, and just the fact of training up the next generation of leaders, particularly the men for the pastoral positions, but also the ladies for, you know, to be godly mothers in their homes, to help out in the church in other various ways. We are, Lord willing, opening a Bible Institute / trade school in Haiti later this year. That's been a major project, and the Lord is allowing us to make progress with that. Sometimes it seems like a Mount Everest of a project, but the Lord has been faithful with that. And again, as he wills and allows, we hope to open that this fall. So just a couple of things about Grace Mission in general. Again, a little bit of refresher. But we're going to be speaking about Alamos here. I want to show a brief video. Just a couple of disclaimers here as we prepare to show this. This is not a Grace Mission video. This is actually done by the YouVersion Bible app. But the reason I'm showing this is you're going to notice some of the people in this video, and in fact the location in this video is the exact same place where we went, because even though this is a YouVersion video, and we give them all the credit for that, they're just looking at the way the Lord is using their Bible app in the life of this young boy, and now in the life of his parents as well. And so we don't want to, we're certainly not taking the focus off of what they're doing in translating the Word of God and having it available by audio and that sort of thing. But the unique part of this is that a lot of this story took place at a Grace Mission church, in fact, at the church that we went to work alongside a few weeks ago. So the video is in Spanish. It does have English subtitles. I know that maybe some of you, especially a little bit further back, may not be able to read those. So I'll give a little bit of a synopsis about what the video is about after we watch, but if you can read the subtitles or the captions, that'll be helpful. But just a really neat story of how God is working through technology in light of this, but also a way that Grace Mission was able to be a part of this story. So we'll go ahead and run it, and we'll just see. Hopefully it'll work out okay. We'll see. All right, so we'll go ahead and move on to the next slide there. So I wanted to show that again. That's not our video. That's a video from YouVersion. And wow, what an amazing thing that we have the technology now that we can do that. So I can't imagine being blind and just the challenge that would bring. And kind of take that and now put yourself in Mexico where there's even less technology. There's even less ways to help those kind of people. And I was able to ask Dr. Sarah a little bit about Joshua and say, hey, what's his circumstance? And so he was born blind, and there's really no, you know, there's really not any opportunity for changing that. So, but he was able to be ministered to by this Bible app. It was, you know, able to record or have the Bible through sound and some Bible stories and things like that. So we certainly appreciate that. But I brought that video for a couple of reasons. Number one, we certainly appreciate the ministry of the Bible app and what the Lord is doing through that. But this took place in Alamos Church. And so we, you know, you saw Carlos and Sarah there. They were explaining about this boy and how the Lord transformed his life and how they were able to use the Bible and teach him the Bible. He could listen to it. Can't read it, but he can listen to it, right? And so it's very, very special. And I wanted to kind of bring this up. What could happen at Vacation Bible School? Well, we know that quite a bit could happen at Vacation Bible School. Grace Mission sponsors a lot of Vacation Bible Schools throughout Haiti and Mexico. And I wanted to bring that up in particular because this church right here gave some funding to Grace Mission last year. We were in the rotation as one of the missionaries. We put that money toward VBS. And so just to kind of show you, this is the impact that you have is through stories like these. So just wanted to share that with you and say thank you for supporting these efforts. Just what a really sweet, heartfelt story of a young boy coming to know the Lord at a vacation Bible school, and you were a part of that. So just awesome. Want to go through, so this is a chart. It's all in Spanish, but it just kind of points out a little bit about the Grace Mission Ministry. This isn't the first time that I've kind of brought our ministry before you, so I thought, hey, it's kind of exciting. Just explain a little bit more about what we do. But our home office right here in Henderson, that's where the mission was founded, and so that's where we're still operating out of, is right here in Henderson. We have our different boards. We've got a U.S. board. We actually have a branch in Canada as well. And so we work together to, again, just really equip and assist in any way that we can, support, help with building projects, all these different things here in Mexico. And again, our trip was focused on Carlos and Sarah Vasquez and the church they pastor there in Alamos. And they do a variety of other things. And this is just kind of showing the different churches. And this was done specifically for Mexico, and so the Haiti is kind of off to the side. That's certainly not intentional, but we do so many of these things as well in Haiti, and most of our churches are actually there as well, but it's a privilege to work alongside both of those fields. Okay, back to the journey, getting into a little bit of our trip report. You saw a little bit about that video. We did meet Joshua, and so that was a real fun thing. I got to meet his father and his mother during a Bible study. We'll show a little picture of that coming up here, but just a really neat thing. So this was our plane. No, I don't think that's duct tape, by the way. It held together. We made it to Dallas, so we're good. But that's our plane there, and we'll just kind of go on. I'm going to have my wife and then the girls, they're just going to come up and share a couple of memories as well while I'm clicking through here if you want to come up. This is our team. And we were able to find, I think it was a tour guide up there. We went to a place called Monte Alban. It's a big ruin site up there outside of Oaxaca City. And we talked to one of the tour guides in it, snapping our picture. So that's our team there. Most of those faces, if not just about all of them, you recognize. So our friend Sarah Henderson from California was able to go with us as well. And so a lot of you know her also, but that was the team there, and just the different things that we took some pictures there on the way, and I'm going to come and have my wife talk a little bit about Casa Compasiva and that ministry there, and then the kids will share maybe a little bit as well, but Claudia is going to come and talk.
So, unique and quite humbling. To go to Mexico and just meet the people there, meet the Christians there, and just see their heart of service. They have an amazing heart of generosity as they invite us all into each of their homes and share meals with us. And they don't near have what we have, but they want to share with us. So that's always neat. I was able to go one day and hang out at this place here, Casa Compasiva. It's run by Dr. Sarah Vasquez. The health of women or obstetrics in Mexico is not the greatest. It's especially the hospital experience for women in Mexico is very scary. A lot of times they are having to do it by themselves because they don't allow the men in with them, or it's cold and dark. And yeah, listening to them talk about what it's like to have babies in the hospitals there, it doesn't sound at all like a pleasant, wonderful experience. Pregnancy isn't always that way anyway, so to even be more that way, it's kind of hard. So Casa Compasiva is a birthing center / pregnancy center. Dr. Sarah works with women during their pregnancy. She's trying to teach them how to help their health. One thing Grace Mission does is they do not get prenatal vitamins down there. So that's something Keith always tries to bring to stock them up, is prenatal vitamins that they can give for free to the women who come to the center. She wants to offer them a place that they can feel comfortable, they can ask questions, they can bring their husband, they can not only learn how to do better in their pregnancy and with their babies, is they have many opportunities to share Christ with these women. And a lot of the women are very receptive because they feel very comfortable and at peace in this place. Right here, we were just spending, she was doing a, I want to say it was a 2-month checkup with the baby. Off in the right-hand corner, there's chatting with the mother. And then over here, the big picture, they're weighing the baby just to see how the baby's doing and feeding and everything. And they were, the baby was great. And so they just check the baby. All of us moms who've had the checkups, we know what it's like. But anyways, the house there is just really nice. The rooms, it's clean. It doesn't feel like a cold hospital, sterile setting. And anyways, they have a variety of ways that they can help the women. They have water birthing. They have other ways that, you know, they offer what would you like to do and talk them through. And Dr. Sarah is very knowledgeable. She's done this a lot. I'm trying to remember, what did you say last year? How many babies? I think she helped with 14 births last year. I'm not sure what this year. I think it's at least up to 3. But they have a lady there right now who, she's not saved, really no biblical knowledge or anything. She actually is from America, but she moved down there and married a Mexican and decided that she wanted to have her baby with this pregnancy center because she likes what they offer. And she's not close to hearing about the Lord, but, you know, I was able to chat with her a little bit. She was from Florida. She's, the best term is a hippie. But she was very receptive. She was very open. She saw that this was a great place and very good medical facility. And so anyways, it's neat to see her. They're hoping to have opportunities to share the gospel with her. And anyways, it was a very eye-opening and interesting experience. And the ministry that Dr. Sarah does is quite needed. And she is probably running on less workers than what she needs. There's actually a nurse there from Ohio that's there for 6 months just helping out and interning, and there's opportunities for any nurses or doctors to come down and help out because they can always use them. Even if you don't speak the language, just some of the medical knowledge that they have. And Dr. Sarah thankfully speaks English quite well. And anyways, it was really neat to see hands-on how Casa Compassiva can help. They had the medical brigade there, which you'll see in the later slides. And yeah, I would say that was probably one of the neatest maybe highlights, is just learning about Casa Compassiva and seeing what ministry and great opportunities that this place offers to the ladies and the families in Mexico or Oaxaca, Mexico there. We'll have Karina talk about her experience next.
I thought Mexico was neat because the food was pretty and delicious. I didn't speak Spanish, but I could make friends. I enjoyed helping the kids make bracelets and learning new Spanish words. It was super pretty driving through the city. And also when we were hiking at Monte Albán, those temples were very pretty and very tall. And it was just nice being at Mexico and nice and hot.
I liked help paint, and I liked the food, and some of it was kind of spicy. I liked playing basketball and volleyball outside, and I liked driving in the car because the mountains were so beautiful. It was just very hot there that I just like sprint there.
Thanks, guys.
Everybody was able to get their hands dirty, sometimes pretty literally. We had some paintbrushes out and hauling away some branches, just doing some kind of upkeep on the church building. And all of the, so those doors are in and go directly into the sanctuary. It's pretty normal to have kind of a sort of a square plaza type of a thing in front of the building, so you enter in. There's a lot more security there. A lot of the buildings have walls and that kind of thing around them. The crime rate, unfortunately, is kind of high, and there's more animals and that sort of thing running around. So it's just a little bit different way of life, but truly, also very beautiful. Oaxaca is a very, very pretty place. It is a little bit warmer, especially this time of year. Once we get into summertime, I suppose we might give them a run for their money, because Nebraska can get pretty toasty, but it's a tropical climate there. But you can see some of the kind of the major project we're working on is trying to extend this roof line. As I said there, there's kind of a square, sort of a plaza area. There aren't very many green lawns, and most of that is a water issue. The water that they have during the dry season, they use for dishes and showers and things like that. And so it's a little bit different context, a little bit different circumstance. But we are working on putting up these beams so that they could take that roof and extend it out. They're looking to get a little bit more room for their sanctuary. And that's a good problem to have, right? When you're filling a church and you say, well, we can use a little more room. We could use another classroom and that sort of thing. So, well, the first step is to prepare for a roof, right? You got to have a roof over the building. And so we were working on those, putting together these C-channels. My father-in-law is an excellent welder, as well as Dave. Carlos was doing a great, everybody's doing a great job. I'm not much of a welder, but I at least can, you know, be a gopher and go and get things and that. All of that. So we all put in our work. It's always interesting going down there. A lot of the times, if we were to do this sort of project in the U.S., we would go get a forklift or something like that. While in Mexico, that's not quite the way things are done. A lot of it's just you gather around, you lift, and you hold on until they're done putting the bolts in the wall. So it's a bit of a different work, but it's enjoyable. You get a little bit of a backache from it probably, but that's it's a privilege to serve and to help these guys out and expanding the room in their church. That's Dave there. By the way, for those of you who've never met Dave, he also comes here to do a lot of work on the church. So he lives in Omaha. One of his things that he just loves to do is go and help churches and go and help missions ministries. So we love taking him to Mexico, and he loves going. So he's there. We also did some work on the Compassion House that Claudia was talking about, the clinic there. They've got some security issues at the rear of the building. They've got some critters that are coming over through there. And so they're kind of making a mess, you know, cats and dogs and other things. So they kind of said, hey, we need a fence put up there to kind of just put an end to that. So we worked on that. Everything there, I should say, almost everything at least, is built out of concrete. And so if you're going to put up a fence, you're going to do any of that, there's a lot of anchor bolts, there's a lot of welding, a lot of steel involved, and so it's just a little bit different type of construction down there. I mean, nothing wrong with it, it's just a different to get used to. This is kind of the finished project. They're ultimately going to take that the partial roof off of there, and they want to, again, extend that roof line out at least partway. Those are the restrooms, very typical, not quite outhouses, but this is kind of a similar thing. Oftentimes the restrooms are kind of disconnected from the main portion of the building. So again, here would be the sanctuary. Carlos and Sarah actually live next door in that area, but those beams are there. So they're able to now kind of move forward with that next path and take that wall down eventually and start putting a roof over that plaza square there. So still got some work to do. But sending in a team, getting part of the project done, we're hoping that pretty soon maybe be able to go back, or maybe another team will go down and be able to keep on going with that. So we're very thankful that we were able to get that far and get that work done. Some more ministry there. You can see that's Claudia's mother and the girls there. And while the mothers and fathers were going into the clinic day that we had, the kids needed something to do, right? That's part of the thing. You might dread going to the doctor's office because, oh man, the kids have got to be entertained somehow. So that's one of the things that we did, was the girls helped out, make some bracelets and some necklaces. We had some little airplanes that they could learn how to fly and things like that. So again, there's a language barrier there. We speak English. They all spoke Spanish. Some people can speak the English language as well, but for the most part, it's Spanish. But we're still able to have a great time. And as Karina was mentioning, I think she met some new friends, even though, you know, they have maybe a hard time talking to each other. They can still get to know each other a little bit and just enjoy the fellowship. What's that? We found out that the game of tag is universal. Yeah, as is duck, duck, goose, apparently, but they don't call it duck, duck, goose. It's something different. Anyway, so, yeah, sports, things like that, you know, regardless of the language barrier, you're still able to really enjoy that. One of the really neat things we got to do was we were able to go and meet some different folks, and they would have us over for dinner. And so this is, I believe that's Carlos's mother. And so we went to her home. It was phenomenal. They just pull out all the stops for us, and they don't have to do that, but they do. Part of that's the Mexican culture, but it's also just part of their love and the care that they show toward us. Absolutely delicious food there. Just enjoyed getting to know people like her and others who've been involved with the church, been involved with Carlos and Sarah's lives in some way or another. That's Nurse Sarah. She's in her element there. Taking blood pressures and taking blood sugars, all those different things, get people prepped to go to the next stage of their clinic appointment. And here's a picture of the Bible study. Then this particular night, the women went to their Bible study, the men had theirs, and so kind of split up a little bit. We were able to get to know some of the guys. That right there is Joshua's father. We were telling you a little bit about him, so able to meet his family, and just what a joy and a pleasure that was. But just a variety of different ministries. This was a very special day. We had a seminar for the churches, and so we kind of said, hey, all the Grace Mission churches will announce this, bring whoever can come. And so Richard Stepanek, who again has spoken here actually just a couple of weeks ago, brought the word. And in this particular case, he was talking about how to evangelize Roman Catholics. I would say Mexico is 80, 90% Roman Catholic. And so how do we reach those people for Christ? How do we show them the true gospel and the true Savior? So he spent a lot of time on that. He also spent some time discussing the end times. He worked through a translator. We've got multiple people on our Grace Mission, a missionary team down there who can speak English and Spanish. And so they're able to translate for him. Just had a really blessed time. During that event, that may have been Sunday morning, but Claudia was asked to go and help teach Sunday school to the kids. So she said, yeah, let's do this. It'll be great. And there's a picture there of the ladies group at Alamo. So, you know, it's really exciting in my mind to be able to go and do something like that, because we're able to get our hands dirty and able to lift up some big beams and do some welding and bolt things into a wall and move things around and do that kind of work. But we're also able to really just get into the spiritual aspect of it too. And both of those things are needed, right? We need a building to meet in and all of that. But we need the Word of God. We need to dive into that as well. So able to be a part of both sides of that. Just some scenery from Oaxaca. That is an amazing view. It's right at the top of the church there. They have a staircase. And so they kind of have a little clinic set up in the church there. But you go out there at night, and you can see Oaxaca just lit up across the valley. And there's the ladies. They stop to grab a photo, again, behind the church there, just showing the city in the background. Some downtown Oaxaca. This is the governor's palace there in Oaxaca City. Very, very beautiful. They're very proud of their city. They put a lot of work and effort into cleaning it up and making it nice. Oaxaca is not a central tourist hub. It's certainly not like Puerto Vallarta or Cancun. You know, you hear tourists just going there all the time. But there is some tourism, and so they want to kind of show off their city. And so they do a good job of that. It's always fun to go downtown. These are a couple of different buildings. You'll notice they are just massive, massive church buildings. They were built by the Spanish Empire, essentially, many years ago, 500-plus years oftentimes. But they are Roman Catholic churches. And so Roman Catholicism, again, is the dominant religion throughout all of Mexico, but certainly in Oaxaca, I think 90% plus probably in that area. There we are. We're having some ice cream, eating some food, eating some more food. Actually, we're drinking, I think, a rice drink there or something. I love the food down there. Not everybody loves that kind of thing, but it's very good food. Oaxaca food is very specific. They kind of have their own style of cooking down there. So just enjoying that fellowship. We always take time to get away for just a little bit after a long, hard day of work and just take a little bit of time to relax, fellowship, and enjoy some of the sights and sounds of Oaxaca City there. This is the team down there. We have three couples in Mexico working with Grace Mission, and they are absolutely phenomenal. They do a wonderful job preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ, not only in their churches, but outside of their churches, growing their own churches, but also just assisting and looking at other places that need to be reached. And there are villages in Mexico. Kim and Jason Farmer have talked about this a lot. They've come here before and presented also. Oaxaca is no different. There are villages that have really never had exposure to the gospel. They've simply just never heard of the goodness of Christ and what he's done for us. So this is an earlier picture. We were able to go down there and have a retreat together with the team down there. Had a wonderful and blessed time. Look forward to the next time we're able to do that. This was another part of our service. One of the things that was requested from the men specifically is that they wanted to be publicly commissioned. They said, look, we know we're commissioned, and they've all been serving with Grace Mission for years now. But they said, you know, I think there's value in having a public testimony. And I said, absolutely there is. So especially at a time when all the churches were gathered together, I thought, let's pray over these men. I offered them a little bit of a challenge from 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I just had a blessed time. I had the men from the team come up and some of the elders from their churches come up, and just to have this unique opportunity to pray for these men and just kind of publicly commission them in that way. In the meantime, this is just some pictures of the combined service that we had. We had all of the Grace Mission churches that could come. Unfortunately, the village churches were not able to be a part of that, but the city churches were. So everybody came, everybody shared with the food, they shared with some of the music, and just the time was very, very special. Normally, they do meet inside there in one of those previous pictures, but we knew we were going to have a large crowd, and indeed we did. I don't think there's any way we could have fit all those people inside, and so we got a tent and rented some chairs and things, and had a combined service together, just enjoying the fellowship of the saints. Again, it's important to do that, I think, once in a while when you are such a small minority. So few people in Oaxaca City are Christians, and it feels lonely. You know, it really does. It can feel lonely here in the U.S. and in Nebraska, where we've got quite a few churches, right, scattering our landscape. But down in Oaxaca, where there's just a very, very small number of believers, to be able to gather like this and have that sweet fellowship together was such an encouragement for us to be there, but also for the believers that were able to attend. So really neat things there. And again, just some more pictures of the event there. There's the, you know, the Sunday school and some younger guys playing Stump the Professor with Richard and asking him all the hard questions that you know, teenage guys like to ask, and they hear these different things from their teachers. Both these guys are Christian men and very well-versed in Scripture, but, you know, when Rich comes around, you gotta ask him the hard questions. It's the way it is. So enjoyed that. There's a picture of the singing time. And that's a picture. Well, it's always a bittersweet thing, leaving, because we know that we're leaving, and we love these people. We love working with them. And but, you know, there's also that little point we get to go home and be back in our own homes, our own beds, and that sort of thing. But nevertheless, that's the beautiful city of Oaxaca flying away out of there. And I do plan on heading back. And yes, you are invited to come if that's something you're interested in doing. So please ask any questions that you have about that or anything else at any time. So happy to talk with you about that. Just a few prayer requests. We're going to take just a few minutes here. It is Sunday morning. I wanted to spend a little bit of time in the scriptures. But just a few prayer requests as you think about Grace Mission and some of the things, prayers and praises. Please continue to pray for safety in Haiti for a variety of reasons. We think about our brothers and sisters there who are just under this terrible, terrible environment of destruction going on in Haiti. But the other thing is a little bit more personal to me, and that is I would love to go down there and spend some time with our team in Haiti. We're not able to do that right now. It's simply too dangerous, even if we can find flights, which is the other tricky part of it. We ask for prayers there. Pray for the Oaxaca team. We have a few other couples who are looking to join our group down there, so we're really excited about that. There are some churches that could use some more closer attention, and we've got some new church planting opportunities as well. We have a group of seniors in our orphanage getting ready to graduate here in a couple of months. Please pray for them. You can continue to pray for Dr. Sarah's medical ministry. Claudia was talking about the blessings and what we've seen come out of that. We've got new believers coming to know the Lord across northern Haiti, where our churches are at, where ministries are taking place. Same with Oaxaca. If you subscribe to our newsletter, you see, I think every single month, we're getting news of new believers, people coming to know the Lord through different ministries. And we are preparing for a busy summer this year as we gear up. We've got some different appointments, different traveling and conferences and things, and so we'd appreciate prayers for our family also as we prepare for that. I'm going to go ahead and be done with that. I do want to say thank you very much again for all of your prayer and support for Grace Mission, for the different ministries that we have across northern Haiti and Oaxaca, Mexico. I want to end our time this morning in the book of Titus, and we're just going to cover a few verses here. Peter read from this earlier on, but I want to look at Titus. One of the things that Grace Mission seeks to do is to train leaders for the work of the ministry. It's always important to continue to train those leaders. That's been on my mind a lot, especially in recent days, as I see the need for a new generation to really kind of take the baton, to take the torch of ministry, if you will, whether they're going to be pastors in the churches, whether they're going to be leading in some other area. We want to continue to build up those people and train them. Titus has been a meaningful book in this manner because it deals with that very challenge, building up churches and leaders for those churches. And Titus is kind of an interesting guy. He's a sort of a regional leader in the island of Crete, just to the south of modern-day Greece. You might be able to find it in one of the maps in the back of your Bible there. At the time of writing, in about 62 AD, we know that there were multiple churches on this island, and that shouldn't surprise us. Crete is a fairly sizable island, but that's what Titus is tasked with. He's tasked with going and growing these churches and preparing them and equipping them better for the work of the ministry. So I'm going to start reading Titus chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 5 here to begin with. It says, "For this reason I left you in Crete." This is the Apostle Paul writing under, of course, the guidance of the Spirit of God. But he's holding the pen here. He's writing to Titus. "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." And he goes through here and he outlines the requirements, the qualifications for elders. A man who is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. And then it goes on, a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So we see this text and the understanding here that Titus has been left on Crete, or left in, I guess it's an island, right, on Crete for a purpose. And that purpose is specifically here is that he would set in things that are lacking, that he would set these things in order for these churches. Now, when we see that a church is lacking, and we understand that the churches on Crete apparently had this lack, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're all in bad shape or that they're all Corinthian-like churches or anything like that. But it means what it says, that there's something lacking. There's an area, there's a void there, if you will, that needs to be filled. And specifically here, it is that they need leaders. They need godly leaders. In this particular case, godly men who would guide the church, who would proclaim the gospel and teach and preach and that sort of thing. So that's what Titus is there to do. Kind of interesting that both Titus and Timothy were left behind in a way. If you remember, Timothy was called to stay on at the church at Ephesus. And so we understand God has callings for each and every one of us. We might be called to, right here in Henderson, maybe we live outside of town somewhere, we might be called to minister in Mexico, like our team there is called to do. It might be called to serve in Haiti, like the team down there, or anywhere else in the world, right? I talk about Mexico and Haiti because that's where my ministry is serving right now, but obviously I appreciate the gospel going forth anywhere in the world, including here at home. But do you ever wonder, by the way, what Timothy or Titus thought about Paul's instructions to remain or to be left, you know, when Paul said, hey, I'm going to leave you here in Crete. You've got some work to do. I'm going to just leave you here. Or when he told Timothy in 1 Timothy there to remain in Ephesus. I kind of wonder if they thought, well, Paul, I'm not so sure about that. I had other plans. You know, maybe we ought to do something different. I don't know if they thought that or not. But we see the points here for Titus specifically. He is to set certain people in charge for what? So that these churches would be complete. So that they'd be able to continue the proclamation of the gospel. So they'd be continuing to build up Christians, men, women, and children, for the sake of Christ. And I don't want to go too long this morning. We've taken some time already with the trip report there. So I want to just end with these verses here in Titus 2, verse 11 through 15. And just end with a little bit of a challenge for us. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Friends, as we read this, we think about what Christ has done on our behalf, for what he's done for us, and going to the cross, redeeming us from every lawless deed of sin. The fact is, we have so much to be grateful for. But we have so much to look forward to. This text that talks about the blessed hope, right? We've been studying that in Sunday school recently in 1 Thessalonians. The coming of our Savior to take us to be with him for all eternity. But you know, in addition to that, we have such an amazing message to proclaim, don't we? Whether it be with a friend, whether it be with a coworker, over a cup of coffee, across the fence with the neighbor, or even in a foreign land, let us boldly proclaim the good news of Christ. It's worth it. It's worth the risk. It's worth the cost. It's worth it. So I challenge us that way this morning. And again, just want to say thank you for your prayers, your support, your partnership with Grace Mission and our family. We sure do appreciate it. And thank you for the time of getting the opportunity to share this trip report with you from our last recent trip to Alamos. So thank you, and God bless.